Well, yes, I don't know why you want to talk in rhythm when you hear the music. You just want to get in time with the music and just, I'm going to talk with the music. It's Radio Fishing, in case you haven't guessed. You might have guessed because you actually clicked on something that said Radio Fishing. And Fish and Frank in the chair here. I got Robert in the chair across from me. And in their guest spots, we have Captain Kale and we have Andrew. And, I mean, it's just going to be a wonderful day today. I mean, the birds are drowning. The snakes are drifting.
Frogs are choking.
Frogs are choking, yes. It is, you know, it's one of those days where it's just kind of...
Really?
As far as fishing goes, that's pretty much where you're going to be.
Is that your Okeechobee button?
Yeah. That's my Okeechobee button. Hey, listen, here goes Okeechobee. There it is. Okay. So, anyway, I'm not really sure how this is going to go today. We're going to try an area fishing report. Boy, where do we start? Where do we start? Maybe something a little different today. Let's try the Peace River.
That's a little different. Yeah. Hey.
Well, I don't want to get lost.
That's true. We go backwards and tend to go left and right and then zigzag.
Yeah, so I don't
end up in Albuquerque.
So, Andrew, how are you today?
I am just ducky.
Just
good
ducky.
Day to be a duck.
Yeah, it would be a great day to have pin feathers. Well, the Peace River was down to a little over 5 foot. And it had gone up to almost 6, and now in the last few days it's been kind of steady at 5 foot, and I think it's going to come back up today.
Just a tad.
Just a tad. I think it's going to be coming way back up. Last time we had this much, we had more water than this was 1998. We're doing 1,170 cubic feet a second on the Peace River, and in 1998 we're doing 8,390 cubic feet a second. That was the last big El Nino. So anyway, El Nino's kind of kicking around. Now all the reports I'm reading, we're heading down to Bonita. We're actually supposed to be in Bonita Springs setting up for the Bonita Springs Boat Show. It's down at the dog track, Bonita Springs. It's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 25th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. I'll be down there, Captain Kale, Andrew, Carl, the half the pirate crew is going to be down there. We're going to be giving fishing talks, seminars, and all that. But we were supposed to set up today.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer, if you know somebody's going to punch you in the head, put on a helmet. You know what I mean? So
pretty good philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, I called him up. I said, we're going to be there and do the best we can tomorrow morning. We're going to get there a little early and try and get set up. We have a big, huge display, big seminar area. It's going to be a lot of fun down there at Bonita Springs. So if you happen to be in Bonita Springs here this weekend, stop by and say hi at the boat show. And it's going to be fun. Let's see. But all reports are it's going to be a little chilly, a little breezy.
But a lot chilly.
It's going to be a lot chilly and a little breezy.
For us. Me.
So, yeah, but... Everything's cold for you. So, anyway, getting back to the Peace River, a lot of water coming down. Mm-hmm. I was doing good on sheephead up I-75 and a lot of little redfish. Anybody heard anything else?
That covers it. You got a spattering of decent trout up there. One thing that really surprised me about the Peace River is you didn't see the pontoon crew out there above the 75 bridge looking for whiting.
No,
right there at the beginning. And
all the little
really
John boats with the 4-aught reels and yeah, pontoon boats. I don't think they really did that this year.
No.
Maybe now that the weather's going to straighten out, I think they'll be back up there. But, yeah, usually when I'm coming down river, you got to go around a whole bunch of little aluminum boats and pontoon boats
and yeah,
all the little holes up there looking for whiting. Now, Robert, you were saying down by 41 they were getting a lot of nice whiting.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of good reports on some whiting right underneath the bridge itself.
So they should be moving up towards I-75. If they're thick at 41, they're staging for somewhere.
Yeah, stands to reason.
Yeah, you would think so.
You know, you know, they might not be there yet, or just maybe nobody's, we haven't heard anything about them.
Yeah, maybe just nobody's moved up there to fish for them because it has been so slow up there that maybe they just really haven't been given that effort.
Andrew, heard anything off Lashley?
Not a whole lot. The trout were spotty, and every time someone's come in and they...
Well, the trout are always spotty.
Trout, they didn't...
They're spotted trout, Andrew.
Yeah, well, I mean, sporadic. Here and there. Ones and twos, they're not all over the place.
Yeah. So, moving around into Port Charlotte, the canals, anybody heard anything in the canals?
Yeah, we were out last night. We actually just decided to go out and mess around for a few hours, and a bunch of juvenile snook all over the place. They were all sitting on the lights. They were eating. They weren't eating as good as they could have been, but still had fun. Got out for a few hours before it got really wet and windy and nasty, and got the fish.
Anybody else heard anything?
Lots of trout in the mouths of the Port Charlotte canals.
Alligator Bay, I heard, is doing pretty good.
Yeah, Alligator Bay. Some redfish further up in. Guys are starting to catch really, really nice snook underneath the docks near the mouths. Those snook are staging up to eat the trout.
Yeah.
starting to see some whiting inside the Port Charlotte canals. PGI canals... haven't really heard much. Some black brown.
We're not doing PGI yet.
Oh, we haven't crossed the harbor yet.
No.
Okay.
Stay on topic here. Yeah, come on. It's what happens when you invite a charter boat captain to come in. They just want to do whatever they want to do.
Well, yeah.
You know? I mean, come on, guys. But, all right. Now, we're going to leave Port Charlotte. Let's swing over towards the Myakka Cutoff. Now, there is a blue Ranger boat over there. And if you see that Blue Ranger boat fishing over around Hog Island and stuff this weekend, just motor up and shut down and say, hi, you know, how's the fishing? You doing well? And, you know, smile and wave and then take back off again. And we'd like everybody who sees that Blue Ranger flats boat to just go over and say hi.
With Louisiana numbers.
Yeah, Louisiana numbers.
It says Louisiana something on the console.
Yeah. Make sure those guys are doing good.
Yeah,
we want to make sure they're welcome here in Port Charlotte. So
right. We would
write up to them as fast as you can, shut down, say, hey, how you doing? And then make sure you jump right back up on plane and leave.
Yeah, don't hang out long. Just go in there and say hi and then take off again. It seems to be a Louisiana thing where when somebody's fishing, they come in with a boat just to, you know, say hi, so to speak. So we want to make sure they feel right at home with that. So if you see a Blue Ranger fishing over there, just swing by and say hi. Even if you just drive around them once and wave and say, how you doing? And then keep going, that would be good.
Yeah.
So anyway, but there is two or three nice schools of reds working that area on the south end of Hog Island and down up around the western side on the Mac River side.
On the outside.
On the outside of the island and down south by the opening of the cutoff. And then up by the north end seems to be more trout. There's a few schools of trout, mostly of redfish, mostly smaller ones, in the cutoff.
Yeah. They've been moving around. What I seem to see, and I spent almost the entire last week inside the Myakka cutoff, find the mullet. If you can find the big school mullet that's traveling around inside.
So if you find the mullet,
you will find the redfish.
So everybody, watch for the mullet.
Inside your deeper holes, small redfish, sheephead, snapper. You're going to dig through a lot of small fish trying to find a legal size fish.
Yeah, still, at least you're going through fish. So,
you didn't put those shrimp in your live well to grow old, so use them up.
Robert, Algebean at the piers?
Algebean's been doing fairly good. I mean, it's not great, but it's been good. There's been some nice-sized trout being caught there, a few sheep's head of assorted sizes, getting some mixed reports of mangrove snapper in the evening and into the dark, along with a few smaller snook. You know, it's been a lot of different conflicting stories. One guy does good, another guy does terrible.
So,
but it's this whole week's been kind of weird with that warming up.
Many
it
different
seems like that
versions option. Of the same story.
Yeah.
What the heck is wrong with people? Get your story straight. I can't take this anymore.
I think what's happening, though, is like the one thing that I've noticed has been consistent all the way around.
I was wondering why those two went running out of here.
Oh, You guys keep going. I gotta go check the water. You guys,
we're sinking.
Yeah, store's sinking. We have water coming in the back door, so I'm gonna go check that. You guys keep going.
Don your water wings before you go out.
Robert, there. You take over.
Okay. All right. So moving over towards Cattle Dock Point in the west wall. You guys hearing of anything over there at all?
I'll be honest with you. I haven't heard anything out of Cattle Dock Point in 5 years.
Okay.
I don't know why.
How about up inside Gulf Cove?
Inside Gulf Cove, great redfish.
When you inside,
go inside the locks and fish that big, long, straight stretch. There's actually been some nice redfish in there.
How are you fishing it?
Shrimp underneath a split shot or shrimp on a jig head up underneath the mangroves.
Okay.
Or near it. The nice thing is you really don't have a tidal flow in there. We always preach, you know, if the water isn't moving, these fish aren't biting. And those fish are used to that water.
Yeah, that's a totally different scenario back in there.
So you can actually be productive, you know, on your slack tides, in your poor tides, out on the harbor, up inside South Gulf Cove.
Yeah. The other thing I've been hearing about back up, way back up on the inside, almost the Placida Road along those canals, has been some big bluegill and a few bass. So some of the guys have been kind of back there mixing it up a little bit, which has been kind of cool. And anything down the moving down the west wall?
Right. Trout Creek.
I get out there, right? And the water is literally pouring into the store. It's 2 inches deep. It's flooding. It's almost up to the very end of the freezer, you know, the long freezers across the wall. The water's coming past them as I get up there. And I look and go, well, somebody maybe want to open the door and let the water out. The door was closed and a bunch of little garbage got stuck up around it because usually water leaks out.
Yeah, all the leaves.
So I open the door and this tidal wave comes right out.
We have a self-bailing store.
Yeah, we have a self-bailing store if you remember to take the plugs out.
Right. We don't know how big the sinkhole underneath it is at this point, but
oh, it's got to be massive. After the one we had, that one 18 inches of rain a couple hours,
yeah.
The water came through and there was literally 10 inches of water in the store.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it was gone.
It left.
And I look at myself going, this thing is so hollow underneath that one of these days we're just going to be sitting here and then we're going to be like 15 feet down in a hole.
That's a terrifying thought.
Yeah, well, what the heck? You've got to live right up till the day you die.
Yeah.
You can worry about a lot of things. So
this is true.
Nobody wins this
anyway,
game.
We're not flooding anymore. Bilge pumps. The store is back floating. So
perfect.
Back to Trout Creek.
We're in Trout Creek.
We're in Trout Creek.
Okay. Yeah, I felt like I was in Trout Creek just a minute ago. Yeah.
Trout Creek has pretty much held the same thing everything else is. We've been finding a lot of little fish. It's starting to get better in there, slowly but surely.
Right.
Our water temp is up to about 70 already.
In the harbor.
Even in those little creeks, it's
still
holding.
In the creeks, it's going to be warmer than it will be. What the difference is the sunshine.
Yep.
All of January, beginning of February, cloud cover. Cloud cover does not allow the solar radiation to hit the water and heat it up. Even when it's cold outside, just the sunshine itself will warm that water up in those back bays.
Yep.
And we've had some nice sunny days. We're going to have this weekend. One of the reasons we're doing this report is this weekend is going to be pretty good fishing, guys. The water levels are down a little bit. They might come up a bit from this, but it's still going to be a good fishing weekend. It's going to be a great time to be out there.
But trout, redfish, snapper, sheephead up inside Trout Creek.
How do you wring out a tennis shoe?
You don't.
Stick it in front of Barb's AC. It'll chill it off real quick and freeze it, and then you can smack it and break the ice off of it.
Yeah. There you go. So, anyway, continuing down the west wall, you heard anything, Andrew?
I think in regards to what Robert was saying and Kale was saying, it's a bunch of little fish, and it's not quite where it needs to be. It's slowly getting there, but
just that was me throwing you in the water for hesitating on that answer.
Yeah, I know.
A good answer is actually, nah, I haven't heard nothing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's okay. You can say that.
I've been hearing mixed reports of some trout and a few cobia on top of the flat there as you get further south. And then a few guys have skipped a few pompano over there. Nothing that they've said that they've been catching, but they've seen a couple skip out while they've been going over.
An oddball cobia.
Yeah. Well, that I already mentioned.
Oh.
Pay attention.
Yeah, I was...
I'm sorry. Your ears are full of water from getting thrown off the boat.
Yeah. Drain myself out.
All right. Sounds to me like we're hitting Cape Hayes. What's going on in Cape Hayes? Andrew, anything?
I have not heard a lot.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We fished down there yesterday. It was actually a banner day for me down there. I actually caught fish at Cape Hayes. And I never catch fish at Cape Hayes. I hate Cape Hayes. But we were catching...
So that's why you went there?
Well, we went there because I decided to stop there because we were going to go inside Muddy Bay there.
Gotcha.
And I stopped just to see what's going on. Really nice trout. All the trout that we caught down there were between 14 and 18 inches. Now, the dolphins were a problem. We would catch a few trout.
That was your bombing out for that statement. I hate this place, but I stopped and caught a lot of fish, so now I like it.
Well, sometimes you got to go against the grain.
Yeah, catch. Now, that's a good answer. Good answer. Yep.
You catch a couple trout, the dolphins would move in. You'd have to wait for them to go to the next boat, and then you could start catching more trout until they came back.
Amazing how flippers train that way. Did you get up inside Turtle Bay at all?
We didn't get inside. We did go up inside Muddy Bay.
How was that?
If you want to burn through shrimp, go up in Muddy Bay. Every tree that overhung the water was just smack full of snapper. We tried and tried and tried to find a redfish in there, and you just could not get through the snapper. We did catch some nice legal snapper in there. We did catch some nice legal sheephead in there. But it was just so tough getting through all those snapper.
Well, that's a good sign. It's not a bad thing
by any means.
I think that's pretty cool. You know,
it's actually some of the most fun report I've heard in a while.
Yeah. So getting around, anything to add to Cape Hayes, Robert?
There's been some ladyfish and an oddball pompano right along the edge of the trough there on the Boca Grande side of Cape Hayes, along with the trout that Cale already mentioned.
All right. Turtle Bay, from what I understand, is doing a little better than Bull Bay yet, but with the red tide backing off and kind of going away, things are getting a little better in Bull Bay. Both have redfish up underneath the mangroves, scattered out along the entrances and stuff, hearing trout out in the middle of the open flats. Anything?
A couple oddball sheep's head and mangrove snapper underneath the shacks on both Turtle and Bull.
Heard and the snook bite is getting better.
Yeah, the snook bite I heard has been increasing significantly.
Getting better. So
we sat in front of Turtle Bay on Saturday outside the bar, and we did pretty good. We caught a bunch of trout. We caught a few nice-sized bonnet heads.
So the sharks are kind of going up in there.
Yeah, but like you said, it's spotty because we went back yesterday and caught absolutely nothing there. Went into Poacher's Cut and caught absolutely nothing. I've never sat in Poacher's Cut and didn't at least get a bite.
Right.
Nothing. The flats out in front, nothing. So it is spotty, like you said.
Okay. Now, getting around up Devilfish, working Gasparilla Sound, going down either side, Boca Grande or the, you know, tailing flats, anything going up towards Placida?
Again, trout. Snook, like Robert said, are starting to wake up. I think we're starting to get more into the water temperature that they want, so they're starting to wake up there. It's not just the little 12-inchers that you're catching there. They're starting to catch the bigger ones, too. So it seems like they're coming back alive.
Been a few miscellaneous sheep's heads scattered up in there with some of the redfish, too, especially that little oyster bar going into Wooden Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of a mixed variety of stuff. It's starting to liven up a little bit. This whole week with that water temperature coming up every day, you get better reports.
Now, anybody heard about Placida? There's been very little, if any, red tide there for several days, so that usually gets things fired up again. Because most of the stuff is not killed by red tide, like the oysters, the shrimp, barnacles, all that kind of stuff. Red tide doesn't affect them. It does affect the fish, but not the shrimp and stuff.
Right.
So the bait's still there. Hearing a lot of sheephead.
Sheephead, mangrove snapper, been an oddball bonnet head. A very oddball bluefish.
I'd probably put Spanish mackerel on that list, too.
You're hearing a Spanish
oddball. We caught a couple in front of Turtle Bay.
That's pretty interesting.
It would stand to reason that they're either coming through there or coming through Boca Grande Pass.
Good pickup. Good pickup. The crowd liked that one. That was good. All right. Now, going up the Intercoastal around the ferry, you've got some snook up there, some sheephead, some snapper, and getting up into Lemon Bay. Will anybody have any Lemon Bay stuff?
The outsides of the docks right now have been starting to produce some better trout. And right at the edge of the docks, on the outer edge, has been some sheep's head with an oddball redfish. So kind of a mixed bag around the docks seems to be the majority of the conversation I've heard from a couple few people.
Stump Pass?
Fishy, fishy.
Stump Pass is mainly, it's been a little quiet compared to most of the time, but a few sheep's head and some big whiting. That seems to be the most consistent thing there right now.
It seems like most of the passes have been quiet.
Let's just take a kind of a jaunt down the passes. Venice, what's going on in Venice?
Red tide's gone from out of there, so the sheep's head started to move back in.
Snook fishing, I hear, is doing okay.
Snook's starting to pick up. The mangrove snapper bite has picked up, and then there's been some small flounder, so it wouldn't surprise me if there's been some bigger ones around, too.
Coming down, Gasparilla Pass, Little Gasparilla Pass.
Kind of the same situation going on. Been a few whiting, some mangrove snapper, oddball sheep's head. I haven't heard a whole lot of consistency there.
Boca Grande Pass.
Boca Grande's been a little fishier this week. A lot of guys fishing from the beach and drifting it. Bigger mangrove snapper, lots of sheep's head. Been a lot of short flounder, a couple legal sized flounder. That's not a flounder.
That's not a flounder.
That's a halibut, maybe.
Okay. So I was close. All right. So anyway, Boca Grande, sheephead, mangrove snapper, a little bit of flounder, whiting, Captiva Pass.
Kind of about the same as Boca Grande Pass, but a few more bigger ones.
Still in there?
I haven't heard of any grouper, to be honest with you. A couple short gags and a couple short reds like they normally be expected, but I haven't heard of any like big gags.
Going down the Redfish Pass.
Nothing.
Captiva Pass, or not Captiva, Ponarasa.
Nothing.
Yeah, been some sheephead down around there.
Sanibel off the causeway itself, I've heard of a few sheephead.
That's Ponarasa. Yeah, that's what that is. So, anyway, we've kind of covered that. And it's almost the same story walking the beaches, except if you're just going to cruise along the beaches, you are going to find some flounder, occasional pompano. There are some different fish, a few Spanish mackerel going up and down now. So, walking the beaches right now, I haven't heard anything about snook or redfish, but there's a few trout, pompano, stuff like that. Getting out in the Gulf, it's pretty exciting for as far as if you're into it for the food. If you're going out for fill the dinner plate up, now is a great time to get out and get that that bunch of meat. And it's, what is it, lane snapper?
Lanes, yellowtail, and mangrove snapper have been just phenomenal.
So the snapper bite is off the hook. And we're talking a lot of cases over 6-pound fish.
Yeah.
And which is not big by fish standards, you know, when we have, you know, 200 and 400 pound fish here, but fun and tasty.
Right. On light tackle, I mean, they're a blast, and for the table, it's absolutely incredible.
And I'm going to suggest a 2-odd hook, circle hook with the shrimp is probably going to be your number one thing. You can do squid, you can do pieces of sardines, pinfish, whatever. Mm-hmm. Cut up some squirrel fish, whatever you want to cut up, but I still think a live shrimp is going to be your best bet to fill that dinner table up.
Right, and they don't have to be big shrimp. I mean, you're going to catch them on the smaller shrimp, the bigger shrimp, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the live shrimp seems to be outperforming the frozen just a little bit, but not by much. So, but the shrimp has been the key answer right now. Dwayne had a phenomenal day, 2 days in a row. Brian Ball took some customers of his out and just destroyed them, and then I've had quite a few customers out this week off and on that went out over the weekend that were in here chatting with you, and you sent them out there, and they've just come back in, and just the main thing has been the snapper of all three species. None of them really mentioned any porgies or sheep's head. A couple guys mentioned grunts, but it was all about the snapper. I mean, they were catching yellowtails up to 3 and 4 pounds out there.
And that's some great eating right yeah. there. Very yeah. good eating fish.
And fun. I mean, yeah. they're great because you get them up in the water column a lot more often yeah. without as heavy a chum as you do with the lanes and the mangs that are usually down a little bit lower. So it's always a trip when you're reeling up your bait to double check it, and all of a sudden you get destroyed by a yellowtail.
Yeah, sounds like fun. Now, kind of gone offshore, getting down, a lot of fresh water coming out of Okeechobee. It's not the end of the world. It's not great, and it looks bad. But the looks is probably one of the worst things about it.
The looks and the propaganda.
The propaganda thing on this whole discharge from Lake Okeechobee, yes, it is bad. Yes, it's not natural to do it, but it. They dammed the Okeechobee off. They put a big dike all the way around it because hundreds and hundreds of people died in a hurricane. I mean, that hurricane that hit was, about, what, in the 20s or teens or something like that.
Something like that.
And, I mean, so many people died. They redid Okeechobee because of that. And just like with a lot of things, they got it wrong and never went back to fix it.
Right.
And so now it's a big uproar. But it's really not that much different than what's going on here in our upper harbor when the rivers are all flowing.
Right.
And it's just fresh water. It's not poisoned water. It's just fresh water.
Right.
And it's brown and it's nasty looking because all the tannins and the leaves and everything else make it, you know. And saltwater fish don't eat as well when they're in fresh water. They're going to tend to move out and move around. And I know it's not pleasant when you paid $2 million for a condo and you're looking out at brown water. But I love the brown water. I can afford to have a home on it.
Right.
We both of us have houses on the water, and they're brown, nasty old canals. But, by God, I could afford to live there. If that was crystal clear blue water... Yeah. No way could I afford to live there.
Nope.
I've
this
seen
this is Anna Maria there. Island. Not a chance.
So I'm very happy with the old brown water. You know, I feel bad for the rich folk down there who have to look at brown instead of blue, but, you know, it happens.
Well, and I feel bad for all the businesses, too, because the news blows it up to being
the
death
sky
and
is
destruction.
Falling, the sky is falling. The sky is falling, yes.
It sucks.
I look at it the Take same way I did as...
I would pass.
Robert said no. So, anyway, what was that, Kale?
I kind of look at it the same way as 2 years ago when we had no bait. You get to see everybody's agenda. Everybody's cards are on the table when something like that happens because that's what caused it. For sure. Without a doubt, that's what caused it.
Okay, the only one I know of in that whole debate that was right was me.
Oh, yeah. So. Pretty much.
I was the only one right on the whole why we don't have bait, and it's very simple.
It didn't want to come.
50 boats a day go out and throw a net, and each boat catches 100 pieces of bait, and so that's 50 times 100 times 365. That's a lot of bait. And
I'm going to say that your numbers are way low.
Way low.
But still, even if you I was looking at it, you go 50 times 100... That's 5,000 times 365. That's, 1,825,000 pieces of bait a year minimum being taken. That's a lot of pieces of bait. And there is no group that can withstand that.
Nope.
Not without going to have good years, bad years.
Yep.
And now there is some hope in the future because nobody's willing to believe this. But some of the bait off South America... they're discovering are spawning twice a year now instead of once a year, trying to maintain numbers.
Nature will find a way.
Yeah, nature's trying to keep the bait there. So there is hope that nature will take up the slack that we're unwilling to take up. So anyway, getting back up, going to the inside of Sanibel, coming up around into Pine Island Sound.
A lot of mixed reports down there. The... redfish have been scattered out in some of the deeper sand holes and up along the bushes, along with some nice trout out in those deeper sand holes, and been some good sheep's head scattered in them too, along with the Captiva Rocks area. Been some decent sheep's head and trout around that.
Right at where the Caloosahatchee meets the sound down there, there is actually quite a few snook there, because snook don't care about fresh water. You know, there's quite a few snook, and it's just getting warm enough there where that snook bite's going to come on. So if you come out of that slow no wake zone and you make an immediate left along that shoreline, you're going to find some snook there. And then straight ahead of you in that slow no wake quadrangle there, there is some snook back up around those bushes. Going north around Pine Island Sound, what's going on? Captiva rocks, you said, Ed Fish.
Yeah. The sheep's head and the trout mostly. Been an oddball flounder and an oddball bluefish. Haven't heard much for bonnethead sharks down there, which is the weird part, because there should be quite a few of them around.
They've been
quiet. Yeah, it's been quiet here.
You're not seeing
them,
a lot of them on the west wall now. You're not seeing a lot of them on the east wall now.
Well, it kind of stands to reason. We had such good years on them, two, 3 years, where there were so many fish being caught. Always dwindles the number down, then it's got to build back up again.
Well, right. four months ago, both the east side and the west side were absolutely stink with them during their breeding season. And they've all just kind of moved out.
Yeah, you couldn't even throw a cast net down there.
No, it wasn't safe. Yeah. It wasn't safe. We were catching 3 and 4 foot bonnetheads up underneath the mangroves.
Okay. Let's wait till we get up there.
Okay. That was 3 months ago anyway.
You keep getting off topic here.
Patricio.
Patricio, okay. Up at the north end of Pine Island Sound, Jug Creek Shoals and the islands going out through there.
I've got a nice little spot I like to fish in front of Patricio Island. And Patricio is right between Pine Island and
Jug Creek.
Out in front of there, there's a big sandbar. And this is a great place to fish for those low tide days that we've been getting. Put your boat on the sandbar, put a few shrimp in your pocket, and start walking towards Patricio. And you're going to see a drop-off into a deep hole that runs in behind that sandbar. And great place to fish on a low tide, because you would be amazed what gets stuck in that hole.
Oh, yeah. Fish get trapped. People don't realize that. Yeah. The water hits a certain depth, and there they are. They're stuck. Somebody closed the doors.
Redfish, snook, pompano, flounder, snapper, trout. You'd be real surprised what gets stuck in that hole.
All right. While we're kind of down at that end, Cape Hayes Reef, Alligator Creek Reef, the deep holes.
I haven't heard much at the Cape Hayes Reef, but the Alligator Creek Reef, I've heard some pretty good reports on that. Mostly some sheep's head and mangrove snapper with a few cobia.
We're just going to idle our boat through the deep holes here. What are we going to find?
I've seen a lot of cow nose rays out there. It may start, it may be time to start drifting out through there for cobia. Go out there for an hour or two. Don't waste a whole day doing it, but it might be worth it.
All right.
I'll agree with that, because I've heard of a couple oddball cobia out there in the hole, but nothing consistent.
Anybody heard Alligator Creek Reef? You've been quiet, Andrew. Anything?
It's not as good as it was. It's still got some small snapper, some scattered sheephead. Pretty much group are non-existent out there. It's warmed up enough to where I think all those kind of fish, the sheephead, the trout, the grouper, they're making their way out, and they're not cooperating, so to speak.
Anything to add to that Alligator Creek Reef, Robert?
Oddball small cobia while guys are cruising around. You know, it's a weird part is we've been hearing about spadefish all along, and I haven't heard of a single spadefish out there this whole week except for a couple as we move up. It's weird. It's like a light switch went off of the spadefish out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they were so thick, the ospreys were catching them.
Yeah, you were saying the funniest thing in the world to see is an osprey with a spadefish.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they really fight. They're a very round fish. If you're from up north, you want to know what a spadefish is shaped like. Picture an oversized bluegill or sunfish, that type of shape. And it looks for all the world like an angelfish.
Yeah.
But they're really a good fighting fish. They really battle very well. They got a big flat body, and they tend to pull real well. I fish them with my crappie rods because I'm using crappie jigs tipped with a little piece of shrimp meat, peeled and put on the point of the hook. And I just toss them out and fish exactly as I would for crappie. Same rod, same reel, same line. The only difference is I'm tying 15-pound test to the end of it as a leader. So it's actually, you know, a lot of fun to fish for those.
I couldn't fish for them the way I usually fish for them this year because our water's so murky. You know, what I usually like doing is anchoring on top of Alligator Creek Reef, standing on the front of your boat and watching them swim by and see how deep they are. And because they're going to keep coming by.
Right.
Like you said, a small piece of peeled shrimp underneath a bobber set to the depth that they're coming through.
There you go.
And wait for them to come by. You'll catch them every time.
Yeah. You'll get one or two hookups every time the school goes by. And they seem to feed in a circle. So
yes.
If they go by, just wait. They will come by again. It's going to be there. Getting up with that, let's switch back over to East Side. Two Pines, Burnt Store, Pirate Harbor.
Scattered Pompano on top of the bar, and then a few oddball redfish. And the trout, it's weird. The trout have been bigger in like the 2 feet of water range. And when you get to the edge of the bar and like that 3 and 4 feet of water is where they get smaller. More numbers, but lower quality.
Wow.
You know, and I've had quite a few guys this week talk about it. Even a couple of guys that were at your talk and got some tandem rigs and stuff like that. They went down there, and if they drifted in that 2 feet of water range, they would catch 15, 18, 20, 22-inch trout, go back through it, and do the same thing again. They were only catching ones at a time as they were doing a drift, but they were better quality. And then as soon as they hit that 3 feet of water, 4 feet of water, it was 12-incher, 12-incher, 14-incher, 12-incher, 14-incher.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's been kind of really from basically two pines all the way up to almost Alligator Creek.
All right. Andrew, you got anything to add to that East Side?
Last week ran into a kayaker at the boat ramp who was making his way down, starting at Alligator Creek and working down towards Pirate Harbor, and all he was doing was running artificials, gulp shrimp on a jig head, fishing the bar all the way down, and kind of the same thing. He was getting into the bigger trout in the shallow water, smaller redfish, very, very few snook, but mainly the trout were cooperating, so he was going after them.
Cool. So, good sign.
That works.
And I guess it brings us anything up on the east side around the East Keys, back along the mangroves. You do have a lot of snook back there. You get redfish from under the bushes all the way out to the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, redfish are just scattered from hell to breakfast everywhere along there. But getting them to eat is a little tricky right now. You really got to kind of change your rigs, change your rigs, change your rigs.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a spot where there should be redfish and you're freelining, put a bobber on. If the bobber isn't working, try popping it and see if they'll hit it popping it. If those aren't working, put it on a jig head. If you're hooking it through the head, hook it through the tail. Change your rigs. It's not so much about changing places as figuring out the way they want to eat it. That's been the hard part. If you're doing the same, throwing the same way, and you can't get the fish to bite, re-rig, re-rig, re-rig. Even if you don't change your bait, change the presentation of the bait, and that's right. Really kind of key.
That's what I've been doing. Every shrimp that goes out is hooked different. Whichever one works, that's what we'll switch to.
Yeah. You haven't held onto the hook and thrown the rod and reel in the water yet, have you?
No, but it's gotten to the point where you want to do that because they're absolutely frustrating out there because you see them.
That was pretty good, Andrew. That was pretty good. That was good. I mean, Kale kind of picked up. You made him stop for a second there. You did good. All right. Brings us into Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek's had a few small jacks and a lot of little trout moving around. And it kind of looks like a flotilla out there, really, for the most part. Even with this beautiful weather the last few days, where you could literally run a 16-foot John boat 15 miles offshore and be pretty safe. They're still stacked inside the mouth.
Maybe that's where the crew went. They used to be up on the Peace River.
I don't know.
And they're anchoring flat out in the middle.
Yeah, I'm really surprised FWC hasn't started watching that harder. They'd started doing that last year, kicking everybody out of the middle of the channel because it's an absolute poop show in there. It really is.
Yeah, well, just keep in mind, boys and girls, when you're anchoring to fish, you do not anchor in the middle where the boats run. And if you're anchoring in a zone that is not marked slow, no wake, do not be, don't be surprised when people try to run through there. I mean, right. they seem so shocked. I mean, they come out of that long, slow, no wake from the canals and the creek. Then they hit the run zone.
They want to go.
They want to go. And if you're anchored there, anchor over on the sides and be prepared for a little bit of wake. That is what's going to happen. It's not a surprise. It's not, oh, my God, what are they doing? They're doing what
they're supposed to do.
Yeah, they're supposed to be able to run through there. You know, if you want to anchor there, no problem. But deal with it.
I think those people are probably the same ones that drive with their hazards on when it rains really hard.
Oh, God.
And they also
that.
Probably do like 25 in the fast lane of a 3-lane freeway.
Yeah, I think they all fall in that same category. I had to take my gun out of the car. I did. Because I was just going down the road. It's pouring rain. You can't see anything. And here's this idiot with his hazard lights on. And then he decides to change lanes. Well, you've got your flashers on. I don't know if you're planning on moving left, right, or whatever. That's what lights are for. Your hazard lights, if you see something ahead of you where you've got to stop or you're going to pull over and stop, turn your hazards on.
Right.
If you come up over a hill and in front of you, you see a wreck or something, turn the hazards on so people behind you know there's a problem. But what? It's raining. You don't think we see that? You know,
right.
Morons. So, anyway, getting up and
I quit driving in the rain down here because it drives me up a wall.
Yeah. Oh, it's raining. I'm going to turn my hazard lights on. I'd love to get in front of him with a Q-beam right in his eyes. So, anyway, back on.
Butcher's Cut.
Well, you said there wasn't any fish there, so you already did that.
I didn't say there was no fish.
You said
there.
There's no fish there. I fished there. I never catch any. I didn't catch anything.
That was Gallagher's Cut.
No.
You said Poacher's Cut. Andrew,
okay.
Mediate.
I probably said Poacher's Cut.
Poacher's Cut.
I meant Gallagher's Cut because we were down in that area.
That's well, we were wondering. I mean, you're the one, you know, talking all over the place.
There's too many cuts.
Okay.
But Poacher's Cut hasn't been doing bad. You've got to get in there at dead low tide, just on the very end hour of the outgoing tide, and get in there and fish that. You're going to find some nice redfish in there. Once that water gets up, they're out of there. They want to go spread out through the skating rink in that area and go find food.
Okay.
Some nice sheephead in there, too.
So, going back into PGI and the canals, what's going on back there?
Boy, that shut everybody up, didn't it?
No.
No, you know, we just heard a little while ago that Poacher's Cut didn't have any fish, and we went out, and outside there was no fish, and we went out here, and there was no fish, and now you're changing your story.
Everyone just started seeing their snook lights in the last couple days back in there, so they're seeing snook sitting on them.
This is what happens when you invite a captain.
I know.
You
invited
them. Yeah, I know.
You even made me go out there and get them.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking. But it is entertainment.
Yes.
It is fun.
Just let me stay out there and handle customers. They'd all be fishing in the wrong spot, but you could have had me stay out there and help them.
Yes. Okay. Here we go. All right. And PGI, back in the canals. Robert, you were saying.
The snook are starting to move on the lights, or being able to be seen on the lights anyway. And then the juvenile tarpon have been scattered throughout there and starting to act up a little bit. Some of the guys have even jumped quite a few in the last couple days.
That was for the tarpon jumping and the snook moving onto the lights.
Then some mixed reports of oddball black drum and some mangrove snappers. Guys are working their way out of the canal. But ponce has probably been the better one that I've heard of a little bit more consistently. A few spade fish, some black drum, mangrove snapper, oddball sheep's head. Nothing gangbuster, but more consistent for a variety.
Okay. Jacks.
I haven't heard of anything for jacks. That's the weird part.
There's been some better sheephead at the bridges in PGI.
See, and I heard that a couple weeks ago, but this week, not much. Man. It's kind of weird.
Oh, they're using crabs as well. The fiddler crab's been hard to find, but if you can manage to get out there and catch a few on your own.
Scrape some pilings.
Yeah.
Try and catch some crabs, yeah.
I think that's why they've been doing better the last week at the bridges than in the canals. Water's been so low that all of their food's been out of the water in the canals. So they're going to the bridges where there's actually food in the water.
That would make sense.
Those barnacles, if you notice in PGI, don't always go all the way down to the bottom. They're just right there on that tide line, where at the bridges they go all the way down to the bottom.
Right.
And I think that's why they've moved out, because those things have been high and dry.
All right. So, now, because with the nice weather we're going to be having this weekend, let's go around and give our best guess. Andrew, well, let's start with Kale. Kale, average guy just wants to go out and catch a few fish. Where would you send him?
I think with the amount of fresh water that's going to come down with this rain that we're having today, I'm probably going to send everybody over towards the east side. The east side's been warming up. The water's starting to clear up. I think we're going to start seeing better fish over there. Sure. We're going to have that nice, fresh, or salty, new water coming in with our incoming tides versus that fresh water coming down the river, flushing down the west side.
East side incoming tide.
Yeah, I think that's going to be your winter.
Okay. Andrew, where would you go? You can do canals, you can do the harbor, the Gulf, you can do anywhere you want. It's wide open for them. What's your best guess?
If it's supposed to be nice, I would definitely go to the Gulf. I mean, that's just my particular choice because I like fishing. I like bottom fishing for snapper and grouper. And if
so, you're going to hit the reefs, Mary's, Helen's, Power Poles,
Boxcars, Novak, all the nearshore reefs. If it's calm enough to where you can get out there and you have the means to get out there without getting beat up too bad, that's where I would go.
What's your best bet on bait?
I would stick with live shrimp, and I had a gentleman come in and saying that he had caught some squirrel fish and took out there for bait and did pretty well in the grouper with the squirrel fish. I wouldn't burn up your whole morning trying to catch a bunch of bait if you can take some frozen with you, but wouldn't hurt to bring a couple live squirrel fish out with you.
Okay. And Robert, your best guess?
Depending on what the wind does, because there's so many mixed reports of what this wind's supposed to do this weekend, I'm probably going to be more partial to fish down in the intercoastal and fish either around the Trestle or right around Wooden Bay. Yeah, right around Placida. Just because of the variety of fish that they've been catching overall, whether I'm standing on the pier or whether I'm fishing from the boat, it's just been a good mixed bag of stuff. Okay. You know, and like Kale was saying, the tides have been a little bit higher, so there's been a little bit more salinity pushing up in there, bringing in a mixed barrage of stuff. How about you?
I'd actually, if I was going to recommend just go out and catch numbers of fish, I'm probably with Andrew on this one. I'm probably be looking at the near reefs, all the snappers. I mean, to get this as many yellowtail mangroves, lane snappers as we have out there, and it's such good eating. And there's always going to be some grunts and everything else to go with it. I think that I would be looking, I'm on Andrew's one with this one. Up in the harbor, I'd agree with Kale. Going over on the east side of the harbor is probably going to be the better bet. But I'm not sure. If I went behind the bar, I'd be pretty close to the bar. I would be fishing pretty close to that bar right now, either trying for trout or the redfish up in there. I think it'd be more opportunity for more bites.
Right.
Whereas getting back for the redfish and snook on the mangroves, there's a lot of... It's harder to find the specific spot where they are. If you're 20 feet off, you might as well be in the next a mile away.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's where I would go. Intercoastal, of course, is always going to be pretty good. I wish I had a better opinion that wasn't just your guys's, but I think you guys did pretty good on where to call it.
We had good teachers.
Anyway, yeah, the crowd likes it. We got through another radio fishing, and they're so happy we're leaving and that everything is kind of on the way out.
And that we're still floating.
The store is no longer sinking. So I guess that's going to wrap up another radio fishing. And I'm Fishing Frank. Now we have Andrew, and Andrew will soon be Captain Andrew. We're waiting on that paperwork to come back through. And
shouldn't be long.
Next time we have Captain Kale, charter boat captain. You can hire him to go out in his boat. He'll take you fishing, or you can hire him to go on your boat, and he'll show you where to go and help you learn to rig up and how to get in and out of places and stuff like that. And of course, my buddy Robert in the chair across from me, our walking encyclopedia, Fishtanica. So
nice.
Hey. You know,
he didn't
have
any big words like turbid today.
Yes, I know. There was like, you know, I don't know what happened. But this was Radio Fishing. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.